T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast.
Oh, yeah.
Featuring Bonte Hill and Joe Shasky.
And what about that action, boss?
Take him out! This is the morning roast on 95.7 The Game.
Oh, baby, oh, baby, oh, baby. Good morning, everybody out there. Hopefully, everybody is having a good morning. If you're getting off your graveyard shift, hopefully you had a good night. Good morning to you. Good morning, everybody at work. If you're getting ready for work, if you're in traffic, drive safely on those roadways in the Bay Area. Good morning to everybody out there. Craig Mack, Spadoni, and Lubman. Good morning to you guys. And you, Joe Shasky, the third. We just had Baldy on. We'll get Bobby Marks at 8:30. Talk some NBA basketball contracts with the Golden State Warriors. Ring night, October 18th. Ring night. They have a preseason game
bling,
Sunday
bling.
At Chase Center, October 9th. Bling, bling. First banner going up at Chase Center. The vibes. You get LeBron in the building. Anthony Davis, Russell Westbrook, Pat Bev. That's going to be a hot, hot ticket, baby. Most expensive regular season ticket since Kobe Bryant's final game.
Really?
As an L.A. Laker. Yeah.
Based off like the secondary market or whatever?
Yep, exactly.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, no, that is. But it's a hot, hot ticket. You go in, you probably get the credential in there, sneak in there, weasel your way in there.
I like to pay for my tickets.
Oh, sorry. Fibber. This guy's such a liar. too much, man.
But if Bob Myers wants to come through and hook your boy up,
now you're begging. No, you know
Michelle
you're
and I would
in.
Love to take.
No,
two
you
got to
pay for your ticket. You said that's what you want to do.
Yeah, that's what you want to do. You got big money.
Well, I pay it forward with a lot of schmoozing.
Well, not only that, but you got the house here in Russia River. You got the house in the city. I mean, you got you're big baller, dog. You're a baller. You like to pay for your ticket, set no whatever.
No got Bougie Bonte that. And Swanky Shasky.
Yeah. But Bougie Bonte is all that free 99 movement, baby. Come on. Real quick on Baldy, because as we look forward to Carolina, and, you know, the Niners beat up on the Rams. I don't even know if the Rams are that good this year.
Are we going to do that?
I'm not doing that.
They're
I'm not
Super Bowl champs.
I'm not writing them off.
I'm not
writing them off.
And we'll see if their season is good or not.
We'll
but
see.
Like, I still believe them to be one of the top 8 teams in the NFC.
But I'm not going to lie to you. This Carolina game's a tricky, tricky game. 1:05 start, West Coast time. So 4:00 on the East Coast.
It's a trap.
Theater night game. It feels like a trap game. They're not playing well. They do have a great. Their defense is good. Brian Burns, Derek Brown, he brought him up, the big man from Auburn. Remember, they had the big 2D tackles. He's there plugging. Shaq Thompson's not a bum. He's not a bum.
No, he's a really good player.
They got good corners. J.C. Horn, son of Joe Horn.
Yeah.
Joe Horn, of course, producing one of the greatest interviews of all time at 95.7 The Game. Shout out Ryan Covey.
I asked him straight up, well, what do you do these days, Joe Horn? What are you up to?
I do a little marketing and stuff like that.
The very next day, he got his door kicked in by the feds.
He's out of jail now. I was looking him up, man. I don't think he's in jail now, but Joe Horn, unbelievable. Unbelievable. But you know what? All right, 187 on YouTube. I'm in Charlotte. They stink. Say you didn't watch a game without saying you didn't watch a game. So I've watched a little bit of the Carolina Panthers.
Well, I watched them. They were part of the Sunday afternoon package this last week. And first thing I thought of when I watched Carolina, I said, oh, when did they go to turf?
Right. They went to turf.
First thing I said, I was like, did I miss something?
It looks really weird. They need to go back to grass. But they were up 10-0 in that game.
Yeah.
And I remember in our text thread, we were all going crazy. Like, man, Arizona's not right. And then you look up back and you're like, oh, snap. They just got smoked.
I know.
Carolina just got smoked. So I like their defense. Offensively, yeah, they're inept, but they still have playmakers. A little concerned about the game. That's all because the trend, Shasky, does this concern you? Offensively, the Niners scored 3 points in the second half against Chicago. They scored 7 against Seattle. The offense scored 3 against the Rams on Monday Night Football, and then 3 against the Broncos last week on Sunday Night Football. So it's like, in the second half, the offense hasn't done much. And that, to me, is worrisome because teams are going to keep attacking. And yes, you have a great defense. Mm-hmm. That's asking a lot from them. Just to say, hey, I need you to pitch a shutout in the second half. That's tough.
No, it is. There's no doubt. And they're going to have to score more in the second half and make those adjustments. They have been in situations where it feels like, based on the score and the flow of the game, they're not being asked to push the ball down the field and be more aggressive. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure there's going to be a game coming up where they're going to have to throw the ball and score and put it in the end zone. There's no doubt. But that's not exclusive to them. We talked about the Rams for just a second here. They are getting outscored in the fourth quarter alone, 44-3.
Getting smoked.
All right, so right now the Rams have 3 points in the fourth quarter for all of the 2022 season.
That's sad.
But you got to believe that that's going to turn around. So I think it's a small sample size. It's a rough month. It's early in the year. You've already gone through a quarterback change. Your quarterback, whether you agree with this or not, hasn't had a lot of game reps in terms of this year and had the playbook. But I think moving forward, they're going to be better.
I think Jimmy will be better. I think Jimmy will have some of his finest hours over the next 2 weeks. I hope so. I want to see this offense get going. Let them get going a little bit, man. More explosives. But look, we're not going to complain again. If they win 13-10 on Sunday, Bonta Hill will not complain.
If they win 3-0, I'll be happy.
They'll be 3-2, first place in the NFC West. All good in the hood. You know what I'm saying? It's about winning.
Yeah.
We're starving for a trophy. And not the Lamar Hunt trophy that's in the AFC. What's the George Halas trophy in the NFC? We're talking about the Lombardi.
Well, and this is also a Deebo Samuel return to the Carolinas.
Yeah, also Javon Kinlaw.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah, South Carolina.
Oh,
stand
yeah.
up.
I
stand
didn't even
up.
Think of that.
A lot of familiar faces out there. So they have his family out there. Kinlaw will have his family out there. Hopefully he can suit up.
And it sounds like the Niners are going to be doing the Greenbrier thing again.
Yeah, that's
so
good.
So they're going to be staying at the Greenbrier. For those that don't
West Virginia.
The Niners used to stay in Youngstown, Ohio. Mm-hmm. And then a couple of years ago, they realized, there's like a 5-star hotel that we can stay at. And that's the Greenbrier, where they hold a lot of golf tournaments.
Yep.
And so that's where they're going to be staying for, I believe, the week. Is that correct?
Yep, the week they'll stay there.
In between the two.
Yeah, so they go from
Atlanta.
Carolina to the Greenbrier, practice at the Greenbrier. Yeah. They go down to the ATL, so they don't have to come all the way back to the West Coast, because that's like a five and a half hour flight.
I don't know if you remember during the Chip Kelly era, but as they prepared for their Chicago game when they stayed back east, do you remember what they did?
No, I don't.
Well, they stayed in Youngstown, Ohio, and it produced maybe the greatest photo I've ever seen in 49ers social media history. I believe Phil Dawson was the kicker at the time. There was a trainer pouring water over a football as they were preparing to kick it. You remember
that's
it now?
That's right, yeah.
And they were like, we're getting ready for the snowy conditions.
Yeah.
And they were dead serious.
And they did not play well. I think Kaepernick, what did he complete, like 2 passes in that game?
They were minus
ugly.
3 passing yards in the first half. And Chip Kelly just had no answers.
Dude, he bitched Kaepernick. That may have been the worst football game.
That was rock bottom.
Outside of the Red Box Bowl between Michigan State and Oregon.
No.
That may have been the worst football game of all time.
Losing to Johnny Manziel felt like rock bottom, and then that game happened.
Yeah.
And only did they blow Chip Kelly out, that social media person, gone.
God. Out of there.
Like, gone like a Judge home run.
That was such a dark year.
Remember that?
So I was going out to those games during the Chip Kelly era, and I think, when did you make your debut at Levi's? Was it 2017? Or 2018.
I forget.
When I drag you down there?
17, maybe 18.
I dragged you down there 2018. Hmm. I was going out of those games. Dude, the press box seats were empty. Yeah, plenty of access. Hey, dude, the lines for the omelet bar in the press box was not long at all.
The omelet bar.
It was not long at all, trust me. We were talking about it yesterday with some digital. Taylor at NBC Sports Bay Area, writing articles for NBC Sports Bay Area. It's like, dude, they had the nachos at halftime. They had the tacos. They had the prime rib. I mean, Levi's Stadium got it going on when it comes to the press box. I need to go make a visit soon. But 2016, the Chip Kelly year, it was so empty. So they honored like Eddie DeBartolo at halftime, I think, in a Patriots game that year.
It was also Dwight Clark, remember?
That was the Cowboys game, though.
Yeah, but didn't he show up to that, or am I
wrong? Maybe he showed up to that.
Okay.
But I believe they honored Eddie DeBartolo, and it was raining.
Yeah.
And Tom Brady was there as a Patriot.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
And there was
that.
Nothing but Patriot fans there. It was actually depressing. Mm. It was nothing but empty seats. Everybody's ducking for the rain. And I'm thinking to myself, Eddie doesn't deserve this. And it was rock bottom. But I'm looking at the 2016 schedule, that Chicago game. Boy. Boy, oh boy. They lost 26-6.
And what was the final passing numbers for Kaepernick?
Yeah, I'm going to pull it up right
now. And it's not just on Kaepernick. I mean, Jeremy Curley was your lead dog.
Kaepernick went. Oh, my gosh. Look at these numbers. He was 1 of 5 for 25 yards, and he got sacked 5 times. Blaine Gabbert came in to replace him. He was 4 of 10, 35 yards.
Blaine Gabbert still on the bench.
Blaine Gabbert, who just retired today.
Hey, the funniest part.
That was Blake Bortles, excuse me.
I was watching the
bum ass quarterback.
When the Niners were garbage memory rabbit hole. I was watching the Packers, the beginning of the Packers New England game, and the graphic comes on the board. Brian Hoyer's last win, 2016. I'm like, this guy's still getting jobs in 2022.
He didn't win in 2017. That's right. He
hasn't won a game since 2016.
And then he gets hurt.
I know. And I'm like, dude, he was the Niners starter.
2016 with the Browns. He was with the Browns, right, when he last won that game?
Or? You tell me who he was.
Because remember, he looked good on a Thursday night football game with the Cleveland Browns. And I'm like, Dale, Brian Hoyer looks like a good quarterback.
Mike Pettine.
There you go.
Wow, what a name.
So Matt Barkley beat the Niners in that game. He was the starting quarterback for the Bears that day.
From USC?
Yep.
First ever game he started was in Ohio State?
Yep.
Fight on.
Oh, my God.
I thought Matt Barkley was going to be legit.
You did?
I did. He was at
Matt
got
day. You again?
He got me again.
USC?
He got me.
John David Booty didn't teach you?
Well, we went out. It was actually on my birthday. We were watching Stafford USC. USC came to Stafford. And Barkley just got beat up in that game, and it was like,
He would have been the number one pick if he had left early, but he went back for his senior year, and his draft stock just tanked so bad.
Yeah, it's not good. Not good. So Matt Barkley, 11-18, 192 yards. Jordan Howard, 32 carries, 117, as the Bears won 26-6. The weather in that game was 33 degrees, but it felt nastier.
Well, the Niners were being prepared in the Greenbrier in the sunny conditions, pouring water bottles over football so they could get ready for wet, slick footballs.
Dude, that Chip Kelly year was rough.
Well, and that's what makes me feel so, you know, as we're going full circle here, this is why Niner fans are so happy when they win, because it's hard to win in the NFL, yes. B. And we went through some dark times. Now, yes, should we raise the standards on certain things? Of course we should over time. But at the same time, you don't want to, like, you want to run this guy out of town. You want to run that. And I'm not saying that's what you're doing. You know, just think back. They went 4 coaches in 4 years.
Dude, I'm looking at this coaching staff.
Blaine Gabbert was supposed to be a savior.
Sasky, listen to these names on the coaching staff. We've come a long way.
Yeah, give it to me.
Chip Kelly, the head coach.
Was Mangini on there?
No, I don't see Mangini on this list.
Thank God.
Curtis Mockins was the offensive coordinator.
I don't even...
Jim O'Neill was your defensive coordinator.
Oh, yeah, Jim O'Neill. He was young. He was like a 30-something-year-old. And Greg Cosell, who was like Mr. All-22 film, he is one of the smartest minds in the history of football that I've ever been around.
Jim O'Neill?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
You don't remember that?
Oh, I don't remember.
Greg Cosell was slurping him.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, you know, Greg Cosell, you can't ask me that question. It's a function of the offense.
Spadoni or Lubman, can you look up what Jim O'Neill is doing right now, the former D coordinator of the 49ers?
Most condescending answer of questions of all time, Greg Cosell.
Look up Jim O'Neill. I want to know what he's doing right now. Dana Bible was your offensive assistant. Mick Lombardi was your offensive quality control coach. Guy named Jeff Nixon, coaching tight ends. Kevin O'Connell, your offensive assistant. And Jason Tarver. I think he was coaching with the Raiders.
Yeah, he was.
Coaching with the Raiders. He was your senior defensive assistant.
Tarver throwing out the bird to the refs. Remember that famous picture?
Yeah. Yep.
O'Neill, currently the Northwestern defensive coordinator.
He's got to be, what, like 41 now? 42?
43. From Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. He was most recently with the Las Vegas Raiders. He was their DBs coach in 2020.
Oh, wow.
And he was a defensive coordinator, first time with Chip Kelly. Wow. We're psychos.
The Raiders' defense immediately improved when he left. Pretty crazy.
Yeah, he didn't go do a good job with those DBs. Did not do a good job.
Well, I'm excited for this one because Christian McCaffrey's one of my favorite players to ever come out of Stanford, obviously. And the Niners had an opportunity to draft him. They went with Solomon Thomas, and I know McCaffrey's hurt a lot, and it felt like a luxury pick at the time because a lot of people were saying you're not good enough to be able to utilize a McCaffrey. It feels to me, and you could say, Joe, you're completely wrong, they use McCaffrey, and Debo's used differently, but they're very similar players in that they're Swiss Army knives. You want to get them out on the edges. You want to get the ball in their hand in space. So I think there's an interesting comparison between the two players.
His first 3 seasons, he plays all 16 games.
About McCaffrey?
McCaffrey. Okay. Christian McCaffrey. 2020 plays 3, gets hurt. 2021 plays 7, gets hurt. So far, he's 4 for 4. He's averaging 4.7 yards a carry. He's still catching passes out of the backfield at 7.3 a clip, 19 catches on the season, only 138 yards. I wonder what's going to go on with Carolina because Love and I were talking about this Monday.
Matt Rhule.
Monday morning. Matt Rhule, the company.
He's the coach.
Monday morning, we were talking about, man, if the Niners lose to the Rams and Jimmy plays terrible, I can't believe I'm saying this, but I was like, and I'm not a Sam Darnold fan whatsoever, but I was saying to myself, you're going to Carolina. Maybe you could talk to their GM. You could pry away Sam Darnold just to have an experienced quarterback. And Sam Darnold. That's how bad it was getting, right? It was like, you can't just go to Brock Purdy.
The Niners almost traded for Sam Darnold. At least there was talks about them trading with the Jets, and they said that they did their homework, and they were, I believe it was a second and a third that Carolina traded and then picked up his fifth-year option.
Right.
That could have been the Niners instead of drafting Trey Lance.
So I'm happy that didn't happen.
Yeah.
I'm not a big Sam Darnold guy, but that's where I was at. What I'm getting to with Christian McCaffrey, what are they going to do with Christian McCaffrey? Scott Federer, the GM of the Carolina Panthers. Niners are their running back. How much would it cost for McCaffrey? What's his contract? I'm going to look up his contract now because make sense.
This is the team that I think that should be all over him. Tom Brady's Tampa Bay Bucks.
Oh, well, that'd be steal.
That's a match made in heaven.
Don't even speak that
check
into existence.
Check down heaven, no?
Don't speak that into existence, please.
You don't think that's check down heaven?
Well, I know it's check down heaven. I know what Christian McCaffrey would do with Tom Brady.
He'd be
you
amazing.
Want those problems?
He'd be
the Niners
amazing.
They're going to have to see Tampa Bay soon. I don't want Christian McCaffrey in a Bucs uniform.
No.
Plus, the Panthers probably won't trade with the Bucs, considering
their
division rivals.
I'm just saying that he's like a perfect Brady player.
So he's got a lot of money on the table. He has a potential out in 2023. He can opt out. Now, if opts in, he would have another 3 years left on the contract, 11.8 next season, 11.8 in 2024, and $12 million in 2025. I don't know. The way I look at it is like this. When we cite those numbers offensively, with the defense playing so well for the 49ers, and I see 3 points in the second half against Chicago, I see 7 against Seattle, 3 against the Rams, and then 3 against the Broncos, they need playmakers.
Well, I look at it this way, B, because like I hear from a lot of Ayuk fans and Ayuk fantasy owners. They say, why does Brandon Ayuk get the ball the first 15 plays? He'll get a couple of touches.
Right. And then doesn't touch it again.
Well, they don't even look his way the rest of the game. What is that? And I would say that, yes, in the Bronco game, I'd like to see him get some touches and some looks. In the Seattle game, you were running away. You're going to run the ball. You're not going to throw it a lot.
I get it.
It makes sense.
We're going to be conservative.
Exactly.
It's Jimmy's first game action.
Exactly.
Yeah, no
Ram
doubt.
Game, you're kind of in control. You want to run the ball. It
but
makes
you gotta,
sense.
You got to put the game out of reach. Like, think about that. Hufanga makes the play. It's still a 17-9 football game, and that football game had no business being 17-9. We both know that.
Yeah,
there should have been more
but they're
going to the
play
board.
In close games. Like, that's how they play. You know, they're going to play in close games. And so I guess what I'm saying is that at some point, and I'd like to see a little adversity in the sense of I want to see this team be forced to throw it a little so that we could get some of these playmakers going. Like, they need to get some guys going. Jennings had a couple of drops the other night. You know, I like Jennings. Boy, if Danny Gray can get that hip healthy, I'd love to see him out there.
Yeah,
Ray McCloud hasn't really done anything in the offense. Like, special teams, he's been okay. But it they need another receiver to step forward.
Well, I agree. And you may need another playmaker from the outside. You know, you don't need a playmaker on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
Who is it we were talking to? We heard somebody, I forget why I heard it, maybe yesterday, I'm getting so old, but they were like, you know, the Niners are going to have to throw outside the numbers.
That was Jerry Rice said that.
Jerry Rice said that yesterday with us.
He said it's very predictable in the middle of the field.
You're going to have to throw outside the numbers at sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So how can you isolate guys on the outside? Brandon Ayuk, Deebo Samuel, can Jimmy Garoppolo get the ball to the outside? Can he throw the ball outside? Can Kittle get outside? But I just bookmark it, Shasky. What's going to happen to Christian McCaffrey? Does Carolina really want to pivot? Because that's a guy in Shanahan's offense. Christian McCaffrey? Like, I know he's dealt with injuries.
Mm-hmm.
Where's his speed at? Well, we're going to find out on Sunday at 105, right?
Well, the other part of this is that, you know, as we're talking about, like, the links between Carolina and the Niners, Jimmy G was supposed to be a destination for Carolina before Baker Mayfield.
As I was scrolling through an article, it said Carolina was a favorite to land Jimmy Garoppolo.
This is
an article back in March.
But, like, that was one of the spots that we thought, you know, because of the situation with the coach, and they want to win now, and they've got this expensive owner who wants to spend it at no cost. So it's just there's a lot of stuff going back and forth here. Yes, the offense needs to do more. McCaffrey, because of their cap situation, I just don't see it. But I would love to have McCaffrey in this system.
Well, it's funny, and I don't know how.
Who would you rather have, Deebo or McCaffrey?
Would I rather have both on the same
team? No. I'm not making you pick.
Deebo. I'm taking Deebo Samuel right now. Different positions.
Yeah, I know they're very different.
I'm taking Deebo, but McCaffrey can't roll between the tackles.
I think he's very underrated. I think we overhyped the injuries. I would love to have McCaffrey.
So our boy Jason Lockenfora. You love Jason Lockenfora.
Volume shooter.
You talk to him a lot at night.
The Joey Gallo.
I listen to a lot of those interviews with you and Covey at night.
Of reporters.
Jason Lockenfora.
He swings and misses a lot, but boy, when he connects.
He swings. He doesn't leave the bat on his shoulders. But this guy is apparently starting to rumor that Christian McCaffrey's name is now in trade rumors, especially with Baker Mayfield not playing well. So take it with a grain of salt. Take it with a grain of salt. But he has lofty numbers, a lot of money, and some people say you don't want to pay a running back that much money.
Yeah,
that would probably make me hesitant, but damn.
Well, I think it doesn't – like, I would love for him to play running back for the Niners. Don't get me wrong here. I think it costs too much, and his salary is a pretty high number. And I just worried, like, the Rams feel like a landing spot for him. That is such a Rams move, isn't it?
And wouldn't you have some fear with him being in a Rams uniform?
Absolutely.
You brought him up with Tom Brady.
Absolutely.
You brought him up with Tom Brady. And I'm thinking to myself, dear God, no. They'll be the favorites again in the NFC.
Well, also Arizona. Arizona would be another team that I would think that he would fit really well.
With that said, and the Niners are in a great spot right now being 2-2. You got Atlanta. You have Carolina and Atlanta on deck. You can improve to 4-2 for a big home date against the Kansas City Chiefs. With this defense playing at clicking on all cylinders, D'Amico rides flying around. We don't know how long D'Amico's going to be here. This may be his last year as D coordinator with the 49ers. Don't you feel like it's now the Niners' time to go all in on something at the deadline? Like, they made the trade for Emmanuel Sanders. Great trade.
Yes.
Sneaky under the radar. Aminihu, who's playing well on that defensive line.
Hey.
Sneaky trade for them
last
year.
I've been on him, huh?
Remember they traded?
He's good.
I remember I broke the news of the trade. Yeah. It happened during our show.
I'd never heard of him.
And we had never heard of him.
No, I didn't even know how to pronounce his name.
Like, who?
But, you know, he's a solid pass rusher in that rotation.
Situational pass rusher.
Yeah.
Very, very
exactly.
good. He's a Kerry Hyder from 2020. I feel like this could be a year John Lynch and company says, you know what? The hell with it. Let's go get that Lombardi. Let's at least swing for it. Let's swing for it. It feels like Jimmy's last ride. You never know with George Kittle.
If you put McCaffrey and Debo in the same offense, you're putting so much pressure on a defense. And I know what people are going to say. It's so much money for a running back.
I don't care.
But isn't your whole system based on running the ball? Why wouldn't you want to put a little bit on there?
That's what I'm saying. And Jeff Wilson Jr. being a compliment to Christian McCaffrey sounds great.
It does.
It sounds awesome.
It does.
And in McCaffrey, and I've been waiting for a running back to catch passes out of the backfield in this offense, what they wanted with Jarrett McKinnon. Now, again, I know the money is long, but what is Carolina going to do with McCaffrey? It's going to finish the season there? Because I don't want Tampa Bay grabbing him.
No.
I don't want the Rams grabbing him.
No.
I don't want Kingsbury all of a sudden getting all cocky saying, oh, let's go bring in Christian McCaffrey and put him in the backfield with the Terminator, James Conner. We don't want that.
Yeah.
We don't want that.
Well, if you were to add Christian McCaffrey, I mean, I think that does make you the clear-cut NFC favorites. You have weapons on offense.
We've been talking about...
I just don't see how he fits under the cap.
Yeah, they restructured a lot of money.
Yeah.
You know, that could make that work.
And then you don't have your first-rounder next year. I mean, could you move one of your D-linemen? And then offset whatever draft capital?
I traded a first-round pick in 2020. Well, I don't know if I'm... I don't even know if it's going to cost a first-round pick for Christian McCaffrey at this point. Because of the injury history.
Think about that.
3, 4, 7? Like, that's not good.
Well, and he's a running back, which we know. They don't trade first-rounders for running backs. You know what I mean? Like, A.J. Brown was one first-rounder, right?
Yeah.
That's what they traded him for. He's a wide receiver.
And it seems like a steal.
Yeah, so I don't know. The other thing I keep thinking about, B, is that if you can't go out and make a trade for somebody, you do have Odell coming back from an ACL injury. I don't want him to go to the Rams.
Did you hear what
Troy
Aikman
need said? A number two wide receiver.
So watching a game back on a broadcast.
I didn't see the
Troy game back. Troy Aikman said, the Rams still are keeping a locker for Odell Beckham Jr. They still have a locker for him.
Mm.
So it looks like he's going back to L.A. Now, he could have a change of heart saying, oh, they're not. According to the suit, they don't look like contenders.
Yeah, they have to be in the mix. That's a good point. Mm. That's a good point.
Maybe I'll go up north. Maybe I'll go across the hallway to the Chargers.
Maybe I'll go to Buffalo.
Maybe I'll go to Buffalo with Josh Allen.
Von Miller.
So it's no guarantee. So I needed, like, we both keep talking about this. If they had one more playmaker, especially with the way they're utilizing George Kittle, and you heard Baldy say, they didn't throw a pass in the first half. They're not even using him. Give me another playmaker. It opens it up for Debo. It opens it up for George Kittle. It opens it up for Ayuk.
The one team I don't want to see get Christian McCaffrey, Andy Reid, and Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, my gosh.
Because if they got him, it would be game over.
So, quick story.
That would be dream team status.
Before we get to Bobby Marks. Spadoni was there at the Fox Theater.
Spadoni's in my ear. Do not speak that into existence.
Dude, Spadoni was at the Fox Theater. Spadoni was a young whippersnapper on the promo team. He's doing a great job. We're at the Fox Theater. It's my first draft show. Okay. It's Joe Fortenbaugh and Greg Papa.
Oh, wow. Two peacocks.
Kansas City trades up. And Papa sits there, and he's turning red. Fat Andy, he traded up. He's got to go get Chris McCaffrey. Raider fans were petrified.
Fat Andy?
Remember that? Fat Andy? They're going to go get Chris McCaffrey. Like, it was unbelievable. Remember that, Spadoni? It was unbelievable. That draft was so fun. Deshaun Watson. We get solid.
And he got Mahomes. It was worse.
It was way worse. Way worse.
And then he left the Raiders.
Oh, man. All
right. Monday Night Football. Tune in. Raiders at Arrowhead.
Oh, man. Monday Night Football.
Is that this Monday night?
Yeah.
It is.
That's awesome.
It's going to be a good game.
Yeah, that will.
It'll be a good game.
Yeah. I'll be asleep by halftime.
No, I think the Raiders got a shot. I actually think the Raiders have a shot to win this football game.
Really?
Yeah, you call me crazy. Divisional game. Raiders have played well on Arrowhead the last couple years.
Kansas City lost to Indy, so I guess anything can happen in football, but they look incredible.
Have some faith in the Raiders.
Don't step on the logo pregame like they did last year. Yannick Ngakoue is not on the team anymore.
Yeah, they got torched last year.
Bobby Marks next. God,
the year before, they ran around the stadium, and it had the bus go around the stadium like, hey, we won at Arrowhead. Look at us. That was bad for
Raiders.
Then
the emails got leaked.
Bad for us. What's coming out of the case? Sponsored by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises. Bobby Marks is talking about the Golden State Warriors and their contract situations. Let's get some hoops on the roast.
Now, back to the Morning Roast with Vontae and Shasky.
I got a funny text from Worldwide Hef I'll read after Bobby Marks. I don't want Bobby Marks to hang up the phone. It's a pretty funny text. I think you'll like it, Shasky. I think Spadoni will like it. Loveman, I have no idea. Craig Mack will definitely like the text. The text was pretty good. I mean, you know, implemented into this program. We'll see. Bobby Marks, ESPN NBA front office insider. He joins us now in the Morning Roast. And we love Bobby Marks because he said Stephen Curry is the second greatest player of all time. And here in the Bay Area, we love hearing stuff like that, especially with Steph coming off his finals MVP. Warriors winning the NBA championship, their fourth in the last 8 years. Seventh overall in franchise history. And basketball is ramping back up. And Bobby, we need to figure out some numbers, man. Good morning.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Oh, man, we're doing well. Ring night's coming up October 18th, and the Warriors have an embarrassment of riches. You already know. You look at the roster. Who's going to get minutes? Who's not going to get minutes? You got the young studs and Kuminga, Moody, Wiseman, Jordan Poole, Wiggins. And you got the core with Steph, Clay, and Dre. So let's start with this. Tyler Hero signs a four-year, $130 million deal. Is that the floor for Jordan Poole on his upcoming contract extension? What do you think happens with Jordan Poole in the next couple weeks?
Well, I think when that number came out, and it's 120, there's another $10 million in unlikely bonuses that he won't hit. So it's a $27 million starting number. It goes up to $33 million. So I think if you're the Golden State front office when that number came out, I think you probably cringed a little bit here, because now if you're Jordan Poole, you're looking at, you know, maybe not 120, but maybe 112. I mean, remember, Anthony Simons got 4 years, $100 million this past offseason, and, in the cap's going up to 134. I think at the minimum number for Poole is probably 4 years, $110, $112 million. I think I think anything less than that, and you're certainly going into restricted free agency next year. I think Hero's a little bit more different. I think Tyler is probably a little more established than Jordan over the 3 years. Certainly what Jordan did last year, probably, from an overall big picture, is probably a little bit better than certainly Tyler, who struggled here and there. It's going to cost you. I mean, you know, Joe Lacob has been on the record saying that, you know, they're not spending $400 million in luxury tax and salary in next offseason. And I have a piece coming out next week, and it says, like, you know, you don't got to be a math major to figure out, like, you can't bring back the same roster and not spend that amount. So somebody is going to have to go. Somebody is not going to be back from this group when we talk about next year.
Yeah, and so if you were kind of ranking them, I guess, in terms of what you deem to be the most important for the immediate future, of the guys, Jordan Poole's one of them. You got Wiggins coming up, and then Draymond, and then eventually down the line, obviously Klay Thompson. How would you rank them in terms of importance of getting locked up to a long-term deal?
Well, I think Klay is probably four, just because he's got 2 years left.
Yeah.
Last year was really the only, you know, his first year healthy on that five-year contract. So, you know, we basically have punted, you know, 2 years worth there. So I think Klay is probably, you know, on the back end. I wouldn't, you know, I don't think you're going to be entertaining extension talks before the 17th. I'd be surprised. I think Poole is, you know, I would probably put three just based on you basically control. He's not an unrestricted free agent. He's a restricted free agent next offseason. You've got the match on an offer sheet. However, the cost of him might be higher than it is next offseason compared to maybe what it is going to be in the next 2 weeks here. You know, Wiggins is an unrestricted free agent, right? I mean, you've got to figure out, like, are you comfortable paying him $30 million, $32 million? And then the Draymond question is going to be interesting here. He's got a, you know, $27.5 million player option here. Mm-hmm. Does he look like he has, you know, from his perspective, does it look like he has sacrificed?
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Based on his prior two contracts, I think he could probably look at it that way. Mm-hmm. If he does not get an extension by the 17th, he's still eligible up until June 30th, but the first year of the extension's got to be the same as the player option. So at a minimum, you know, he's getting a, you know, $28 million starting salary in year one here. So we all know the value of Draymond as far as what he brings to this team. Are you giving him an extension based on what he's done in the past or what the future is going to hold for him? I think that's kind of where teams run into a problem here. It's almost like it's a tie, but I think Poole is a priority, but not as probably much as far as figuring out what, you know, what Wiggins is going to do. And I think certainly, with Draymond, you know, the Lakers are sitting on $34, $35 million in cap space next year. If he becomes a free agent, is he a priority for them? Are they willing to commit long-term when, you know, LeBron and AD are basically a one-year deal?
Interesting. Bobby Marks, ESPN NBA front office insider here on the roast on 95.7 again with Joe Shasky, the Butcher, and Bonta Hill. So you have Wiggins there. That's intriguing because I feel like his market's going to be trending up coming off of that postseason performance. Game 5, of course, against the Celtics in the finals, 26-13. He was probably the Warriors' second. You know, when you talk about consistency, he was right behind Stephen Curry there in that postseason. Is that a guy the Warriors can't afford to leave, or do you look at the bench and say, well, they have Moody, they have Kuminga coming, you still have Jordan Poole and his rights. Is that a guy you think the Warriors would be comfortable letting walk? Because he looks real comfortable in the system, Bobby.
Yeah, I mean, it's a nice insurance policy that you have, and you're going to need big years out of Kuminga and Moody and certainly Jordan Poole when you have those young lottery, you know, players picked in the lottery as kind of that next man up. So in case maybe the price tag for Andrew Wiggins is too high next offseason, you do have an insurance policy here. I just think, I think the Wiggins price tag is going to be interesting because we saw what happened in Minnesota when he was basically the number one or number two guy. And I don't know if he's the right person for every team out there. I don't think he's a franchise player. So, as you know, franchise players make north of $35 million. So do teams kind of get scared off based on what they saw in Minnesota as far as his, you know, first 5 years? And I think he's found a great comfort level as far as being that third guy in Golden State. And I think I would be a little bit nervous if I'm looking at him being at that number one or that number two guy from a team other than Golden State.
Bobby, as someone who was a team builder in a front office and as someone who's now evaluating the entire league and seeing all the situations, from a team building aspect, is this like GM ecstasy? You've got an owner who's willing to, for the most part, spend whatever it takes. You obviously have all of these young players that you're hoping can develop. You still have one of the top, you know, two or three best players in the NBA at minimum in Steph Curry. You got a bunch of veterans. Like, when you look and how team building comes about, is this about as awesome as you can see around the league, in the history of the league? Because I can't think of anything that comes close to this.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could probably point to, you know, back in the day, San Antonio, right, as far as how they, and the longevity of it, where you draft, you know, Tim Duncan and then Manu and Tony Parker, and then you kind of, you had that great run, you know, until, you know, now they're retooling here. But I think what's interesting in Golden State is they kind of checked the boxes, right? We know how great they've drafted. They hit on the trade. They went through that lull, that two-year gap period where ownership was still willing to spend, you know, similar to what we're seeing down in L.A. with the Clippers here. You know, Kawhi and Paul George get hurt, but they're willing to go out and extend Robert Covington and, in effect, Zubac, and go out and get Norman Powell and Covington, you know, when the team was heading towards the play-in here. So, I mean, if you have an owner that's, you know, willing to commit resources when the roster is not up to par, but knowing down the road, Clay is going to get healthy, Steph's right, going to get healthy, Draymond's going to get healthy, you've got these lottery picks here, then that's what every front office wants here. And they've done it right. I mean, they certainly have be able to win a championship after, you know, 2 years of lottery, and then you know, being in the play-in, you know, is something that we don't see very often. It's incredibly hard to do.
So Joe Lacob got fined $500,000 talking about the luxury tax and the penalties, and we look at the Warriors cap situation. Do you think the NBA will do something about that? Because a lot of Warrior fans, you know, Chasky knows this, it feels unfair that they're getting penalized for developing their own talent. Now, I know they brought in Andrew Wiggins from Minnesota, but that was basically, they had that lane, that salary cap situation right there with Andrew Wiggins. What do you think the NBA will do about this moving forward, about the luxury tax?
Well, for me personally, I mean, I would love to see a way where teams that do draft are not penalized as much, you know, for, you know, if you're drafting, you know, Steph or Draymond or Kuminga, any of those, maybe you're getting, instead of, you know, you're getting 50% tax on those type players. Mm. I think certainly the Wiggins situation is different here, or maybe the player going into that rookie extension like Jordan Poole, you're not getting, you know, if he's making $25 million, maybe you're only getting taxed on $12 million of that. I mean, I'd love to see that because I think it does reward teams for drafting well. Well, but on the other end, you're going to have, you know, these probably some of these mid or small markets saying, well, wait a minute, when's enough's enough? When is, you know, we can have Golden State and the Clippers spending $400 million in salary and luxury tax next year, but you're getting that money to you, right? The distribution is going to be at an all-time high. So I think there's a handful of owners that probably want to see a harsher penalty from the luxury tax. I think there's a handful that are saying, well, wait a minute, let's you know, maybe we tweak the system here where we're getting a little bit relief as far as from a luxury tax standpoint based on how well we draft.
Yeah, we've got NBA insider Bobby Marks with us, used to work in the front office for NBA teams, and just knows how the inner workings of the front office goes. One last question here for you, Bobby. Just hypothetically, I don't want anyone traded, but if you're looking at the young guys the Warriors do have, the Kuminga, Wiseman, Moody, Jordan Poole, who's got the most outside value out of curiosity? Who's the player that the rest of the league would want the most of those young guys?
I would say probably Kuminga. Just because he's going into year two, you know, he's on this inexpensive rookie contract. He's a big wing. He's certainly behind from an offensive standpoint where Jordan is and probably even where Moody is. But I think the total upside of him is probably higher than the other, three or four players here. I think certainly with Wiseman, the injuries, and we'll see, hey, this is a big year for him. He's going into year three here. If he has a big year, he'll be part of the future here. But I think for me, when I look at the younger players, it's probably Kuminga.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's a good call. Bobby Marks, we appreciate the time.
Thank you.
Can't wait for basketball. Should be exciting, especially here in the Bay Area.
Appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
Anytime. Bobby Marks, NBA front office insider there. Kuminga, the most coveted.
Who, if I asked you that same question?
Probably be Kuminga.
You think so?
Because of the injury. Like Bobby just said, the injuries to Wiseman. I think Wiseman's going to be a very, very good player. And I think he's going to pop this year.
Okay.
Now, what does it look like in terms of stats? I'm not saying 20 and 10, but I think he fills a role very, very.
We're asking a hypothetical question.
Yeah, no doubt. But it's got to be Kuminga, right?
Well, I'm looking at someone like Jordan Poole, and I find it interesting. I think it's.
Because we don't consider him young, right? He's about to enter his fourth season.
But he's still very young.
He's still very. Very,
and
very
and
young,
I look at someone like Anthony Simmons, who got that money, and I'm like, what has he really done? Not that Poole's done anything of significance. I'm not saying that Poole has, but like the way the NBA works, it's like, oh, you show a little bit of promise, 4 years, $100 million.
Right.
And it's like, damn. I'm like, the money is wild.
Would you say Poole's had a bigger impact, though, than Anthony Simons? Because
when your team wins, yes, it makes sense.
But like, you got to do it at the highest levels, right, with the biggest stages. And Poole, even though he was inconsistent in the postseason, it's really, really good games.
But he's got he's got one full good season, right?
Well, if season and a half.
Okay, but that's what I'm saying.
Right.
Full season. That's why I said, he didn't have, I know he had half a season, but one good full season. And I really like him, and I love where he's going and his trajectory. But he's also a guard, and guards come into the league, it feels like 2-1 versus some of the bigs that are out there. He doesn't play great defense. Like
is that a guy that you may be considering the price tag? You would maybe think about.
I want to keep him. Yeah. I want to keep him. I think he fits the ethos of the organization.
Well, that's the thing. You could say you have all these guards, right?
Yes.
You have all these guards, but how many guards can play off the ball and on the ball?
Well, and he just fits with the whole flow of the team.
I'm saying.
Jordan, I think he's worth more to the Warriors than he would be to someone else.
Right.
Hypothetically, Orlando or the Knicks.
Well, you heard
it
what
doesn't
he said.
Make sense to
well,
me.
He said, you heard what he said about Andrew Wiggins. Andrew Wiggins is probably not going to carry a franchise. We saw that.
But as
your third, fourth best player, and we saw that role in the postseason, wide open threes, getting to the rim, playing solid defense, he fits what the Warriors do. And so I feel like that with Jordan Poole, where, he doesn't play the greatest defense, but defense is, can you at least try? Steph at least tried, and he's got better over time. That's the biggest adjustment for, I think, young players in the NBA is defensively, where to be, how to defend a pick and roll, how to stay in front of your men. They struggle. Young players struggle at that end.
And this whole, carrier franchise, Giannis is one of the greatest players the game's ever seen. And when he doesn't have his running mate with him, they get bowed out in the playoffs.
Chris Middleton.
I mean, you got to have players around. Don't get me wrong. Look, Braun was amazing, and what he did was amazing. The East was slightly watered. I'm not taking it anywhere. It was slightly watered down. I'm not sure if I plopped vintage LeBron into the East today that he's having the same number of success all the way through. And then when he did win championships, they had Bosh and Wade and everything.
Right.
And so I just think we do this thing in the NBA where, you're not a franchise player.
Right.
Well, how many of those guys really are there in the league?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, man, what they do decide to do to go to State Warriors, that is, because Draymond does have the player option. What if Draymond does opt out and says, I want to be a free agent, you have to pay me? That would be very, very interesting. Andrew Wiggins going to be a free agent. Wiggs fits perfectly.
I got to see Wiggs come back.
No,
I'm saying, I want to see him come back to the Warriors.
Yeah, he's so comfortable here defensively. Guarding wings.
He was outstanding in the Dallas series.
And then how ready will Kuminga and Moody be next season?
I don't know.
Are they going to be ready for that role? So, and then when you look at Jordan Poole, when we talk about guards real quick on Poole.
Yeah.
His ability to play off the ball and run the second unit is invaluable.
Well, and his ability to dribble drive, penetrate, and get to the cup, which is a rare, rare skill for this
team.
Getting
to the free throw line?
Yeah.
Do you really want that to walk away? Do you really want him to
Now, he's got a lot of growth to do on the defensive side. And I think passing, he got better as the year went on in terms of setting up others around him. He still, at times, can take YOLO shots.
But I do love that pick and roll with him and Wiseman coming up. That's going to be nasty.
Well, I'm excited for that. I'm big time. I'm starting to come to the realization, and I hope I'm wrong, but it does feel like maybe at some point, not this year, maybe it's next year or the year after, one of the young guys is probably not going to pan out or not going to be on this team. Like, we have to be realistic here, right? Like, it might be Moody. Or maybe it's Kuminga. Maybe it's Wiseman. What? Maybe it is Jordan Poole that ends up taking a leave somewhere else.
Right.
To think that all of them are going to remain, I hope it happens. Right. I want it to happen. That's why I'm going to enjoy this season for what it is. But the NBA is so fickle, and things happen so quick.
So if you had to rank it, Wiggins number one. Got to keep him?
To me, Wiggins is more important than Jordan Poole right now.
Okay.
For right now.
Where would you put Draymond Green?
For winning a ring in the next 2 years.
Where do you put Draymond Green in that equation?
See, I think Draymond Green's lower on the pecking order right now than maybe he is for other people. You could say I'm a Draymond hater. He was unplayable for multiple games of the finals. One series. He had rough stretches. He was really good in a couple of the closeout games, but rough stretches.
That's why this season is going to be so intriguing with the Warriors, because you got them wanting to repeat as champions.
Yeah.
But you also have the individual guys wanting to get their money. We talk about Aaron Judge in the contract year.
I know.
Wiggins now in the contract year. Jordan Poole. We'll see what happens in the next week or two if he signs an extension or what the Warriors do there. Then, you know, if he goes and become a restricted free agent, all of a sudden you get the Orlando Magic who say, hey, here's $200 million. You comfortable paying Jordan Poole $200 million?
No.
And moves like that, you think people went crazy over GP2. If Poole was to wear a Magic jersey or, I'm just throwing teams out there, a Wizards jersey, Warrior fans will be out, right?
Yeah.
Like, you talk about guys who make the crowd
the
pop.
Energy, yeah. He's a showstopper.
Dude, he's a showstopper.
When you go to the game and you're in that arena, that crowd vibes off. I mean, Curry, clearly, it vibes off him. Well, and the harsh reality is if Draymond and Klay Thompson want to remain Warriors for life, on the next contract for both of them,
they're
not max players anymore. Yeah, and I know Draymond's not a full max, but like, if you want to stay, you got to meet in the middle and you got to compromise a little. You want to buy a house in the Bay Area?
Right.
You're not going to get everything. You're not going to get a 5-bedroom house. You're not going to get a flat property with a huge yard. Yeah, well, there's something that you're going to have to compromise on.
You're not getting a laundry room?
A mud room.
What about a man cave? You're not getting that? Damn, it's kind of depressing. Anyway.
No, but I'm going to enjoy this season.
No doubt.
Every step of the way.
But in the back of your mind, you're going to be like, somebody's not going to be here.
Well,
somebody. Maybe. We'll see.
I enjoyed the Kevin Durant final year. Everyone lost their minds about whether he's going to leave or stay or go. And I tried to just live in the moment, and I was in denial. And then when he left, it was a gut punch.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed every second of that. Sure. And I know a lot of people didn't because of the coverage around it. So I want to give Warrior fans the coverage that they deserve, which is you're the repeating champs. We have a great team. Mm-hmm. Let's just try to win as many games as we can to put ourselves in a position to where we can win another title.
This is so fun. Warriors. It's going to be so fun. By the way, Spadoni wants to know about the text before we flex. Worldwide Hef. He loves being on the show. Would be funny to start the show one day. Good morning, listeners. Good night, strippers. I don't feel comfortable with that. I'm not going to say good night to the strippers. You want me sleeping on the couch? No, no, no. And by the way, strippers work around the clock. They got to get ready for the brunch shift. Cold Club, baby, coming up. All right, let's move on to Flex. That you may want to dump that. Flex. So I don't get outraged by these dudes.
Why don't we read between the lines a little? Like Roger Maris, he did 61 in 1961. It's very famous. I'm just so that you understand. This is a guy who hit 14 home runs, 28, 9, 19, 16, and then jumped up to 39, then jumped up to 61, back down to 33, 23. He basically is the 1960s Brady Anderson, and we're here interviewing his kid like he's Babe Ruth every single day. And I'm like, I'm done with the whole like glorifying of Roger Maris. It's great. He had a great single year. It was amazing. Good for you. Your son's 5 minutes is up.
Why?
Like, congratulations to Aaron Judge. Let's just enjoy Aaron Judge.
Well, not only that, but like, we want to start talking about who's authentic and who's not. So some of our Hall of Famers are not authentic. David Ortiz is not authentic,
Mike
right?
Mike Piazza, in his autobiography, admitted that he had took steroids.
He's in the Hall of Fame.
The Flex of the Show, presented by Xfinity Flex, the 4K streaming TV box with voice remote and Peacock Premium, free with Xfinity Internet.
Would you say Craig Mack, A-team, B-team? Got A-teams and B-teams? Good to know. Good to know. Willard Dibbs, some guy.
What's
going on, Dibbs, man? You look a little red.
Oh, I'm good. I mean, what do you mean red? I'm always red, kid.
No, I mean, like,
I mean, I've been red since 1968,
dog. Steve blowing.
No. The whole thing about, steroids and the home run record, it gets to me a little bit because, you know, the part where everyone's, Bonds, he took steroids. He's not the home run king. Okay. Yes, he did.
Yeah.
How many pitchers did he face who were on the juice? Sosa, McGuire, the whole rest of it. And even go back to the 1960s. Roger Maris, 61 in 61. What was going on there?
They expanded.
Do you think that steroids were not in place?
Yes.
I'm not saying players had the same science. They didn't do it the way that the guys in the 90s did. But who knows what was going on with the greenies and other items. I talk about steroids into chicken a lot.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they didn't have organic food back then. So, Roger Maris might have been having, three roast chickens a day. You got steroids in the chicken. So we didn't drug test. We don't know what they did. We don't know who Bonds faced, who was on the juice. Baseball presided over all of it. So sorry, baseball and John Heyman and all the rest of you. You don't get to pick and choose which records based on which players are records. The guy hit the ball over the fence 73 times, and that's it. End of story.
Are we going to pull back the Astros cheating scandal? Are we going to take their World Series away?
No,
How about the Yankees when they had Roger Clemens, Andy Pettit, Aaron Boone? We can go right down the list. Here's one last thing on this one. When Jerry Rice broke the single season touchdown, and I know football's different from baseball. He broke it.
Yeah, they're allowed to take steroids in football. Go ahead.
They encourage it.
Well, Sean Merriman won a Defensive Player of the Year the same year he had a 4-game suspension for HGH.
Lights out.
But he got 22 touchdowns in, I believe, 1987 when there was only a 14-game season. Jerry Rice, that was the single-season record forever. When Randy Moss broke the record, I was like, and not Jerry's my guy. That was a great year. He did it in 16 games. I don't even care. Like, Randy Moss was awesome. Who didn't love watching Randy Moss? We didn't go back.
Raider fans.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
But we didn't go back and, like, retroactively, like, figure out why Randy shouldn't be the champion. I just don't get why we go through this in baseball. It's baseball.
Randy
people
Moss
don't like
fourth draft pick.
It's that simple.
People like Randy Moss?
No, but people like Aaron Judge.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean? And here's the thing.
Deer antler spray, Ray Lewis.
Yeah.
What do you guys think about this? This is what I think extends.
16 covers for Bonds.
Dibs, what you said, unfortunately, a lot of people's rebuttal is, if your friend jumps off a bridge, does that mean it's okay for you to do it too? Like, okay, yeah, the pitchers were juicing. So now it sounds like, I know a lot of people will rebut that and say, so you're excusing Bonds' behavior?
No.
Not at all.
No.
Here's my question.
Huh.
And I want to do this without accusing anyone when I have no clue what everybody's doing.
Yeah.
I have, just as a sports fan and a human being, I have a hard time believing that either a team or an individual went out there clean and beat a bunch of people who are doing it dirty. In other words, the Houston Astros, I'm sorry, were not the only team cheating.
We were talking about Boston got caught.
In fact, there probably were very, very few teams who weren't.
Yeah.
Maybe the Royals and the Pirates and teams who don't care.
I'm sorry, they won 2 games on the road in that series at Dodger Stadium.
Yeah, well, look, they also have a talented roster. Yeah, so, yes, it wasn't. They were giving themselves an advantage. Right. But the Dodgers also won games in Houston. Are we going to act like the Los Angeles Dodgers, the centerpiece of entertainment, and the San Francisco Giants, the centerpiece of technology? These two teams are innocent flowers and watched Houston, Texas come up with this very forward-thinking idea that no one in baseball has thought of when players are switching from the Astros to other teams all the time, which I know is how the whistle ended up getting blown. So I'm not here to tell you that Aaron Judge is on steroids. What I'm here to say is,
that a voice short.
How do we know that anybody's clean, and how are they doing so well against people who we know aren't clean?
100%.
How is that possible?
It's impossible. Judge should have a lot more home runs. If Barry Bonds should have hit 100 home runs if he was the only one on the juice. So I just, with Bud Selig in the Hall of Fame, that to me ends the argument of all of this, because Allen E.G. Bud Selig III presided over the whole thing. They did it. It was a premeditated move to allow it to happen. Baseball was a dying sport in the 90s. Sosa and McGuire brought it back via the juice Andro, whatever Sammy was on, he was on all of it. And other players are like, oh, gee, Bonds saw what they did and thought, huh, I got to get me some of that good. And so all of it was under the umbrella of Bud Selig. So you don't get John Heyman and all the rest of you sanctimonious scribes. You don't get to pick and choose what records stand and what records don't.
Well, honestly, when I watched that home run yesterday, and I enjoyed Aaron Judge.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the season. One of the greatest contract years I've ever seen.
I got goosebumps hearing John Sterling's call.
John Sterling's call was great. Personally, after yesterday's show, I said, I don't want to pay attention to the negativity surrounding this home run chase. You want to disrespect Bonds? Go ahead. I'll just mute you, block you. I don't care. I just don't care what Verducci says or John Heyman says or what other these. Pass it to the best. Bonds is a home run king. He hit 73 of the season. Let's move on. Like, and nobody can move on 20 years later. We always focus on the things that are not going well
in
baseball.
John Heyman's got an agenda.
Well, thank you. I feel like we're playing his game right now by bringing him up. John Heyman to Aaron Judge has become similar to the guy who didn't vote for Derek Jeter to go to the Hall of Fame, and then he's on every radio show in the country the next day, so people can go, why didn't you vote for... Like, John, if you wanted an invite on the show, just text us. But we'll bring you on the show, talk a little Aaron Judge. It's like you're going... He's going so over the top, and you can tell why. Every time he puts it out there, it gets a billion likes and a billion retweets, and someone, whoever his boss is like, you know what, John?
Yeah.
This is working. I think you should tweet about this every 4.5 hours.
John says, Niner takes. It's good for business.
Oh, yeah. Well,
I had to get that in there.
Before we get to that, that was a four.
Bonte on Jimmy G. Dude, good for business. Picasso.
We give the digital team two options. Hey, Shaq's going to have a great back and forth about the defense. No. We're going to make Bonte look insane. Yeah. And I have veins popping out of my forehead on Instagram.
Don't act like you didn't love it.
No, I didn't.
Off the field in this Marine.
Bonte was all over the internet.
Why does Bonte hate Jimmy G so much?
And I just like,
just because he does. Yeah. You know, he just does. He hates Jimmy G.
I was the biggest Jimmy G cheerleader at the station in 2020.
Bonte.
I mean, don't go to Brady.
It's sports radio. You're not going to undo this now.
Exactly.
You hate Jimmy. Right. I love Jimmy. He's my boyfriend. Yeah. You hate him.
I hate him.
That's the way the world works.
It is unbelievable.
On to Wednesday.
I leave for doing the Warriors season preview. By the way, we taped it. It'll be aired, I think, before the preseason game. Got to check. I'll let
you
know.
How many photos with the trophy?
I just took a couple with Laura. That's it. I've been there, done that.
That's
all news to me. I saw it at media day. It's like, dude,
I'll be on the court for ring night. So, you know, there's no point in needing to do it when the TV will be on you.
You'll be on the floor?
I don't know what the hell I'm going to be doing on
pre-game,
ring night.
I'm sure you guys will be on the floor.
No, we'll be at the gatehouse.
Did you see the prices, by the way, for those tickets to ring night?
Most expensive since Kobe's last game.
Isn't it? I thought the second most expensive regular season game of all time, I heard.
Kobe's maybe number one then in 2016.
Okay.
The last night Twitter broke.
Wow.
We saw the blue well on Twitter that night. The Warriors were going the fail 73.
Look at you with the throwback.
Remember that night,
by the way, when Elon takes over. Yeah. Enjoy Twitter while you have it, because Twitter's about to be over. We're on to the next.
You know what? That may be a good thing for a lot of us. Alright? I don't like Twitter. And I get out of the season preview. I look at Instagram. I'm attacked. I'm like, I've been called so many clowns. I was Victory Tuesday. I uplifted this entire fan base on Monday alongside Duke with his rap.
Like your Moses.
San Francisco was down.
Splitting
I uplifted
us.
Dibs and I gave you locks. Gave you locks. We walked in Levi's.
I had the Rams. In full defense, I had the Rams.
Well, you did have the Rams, but you had defensive touchdown.
Remember,
I looked at everybody. And then Tuesday, I'm public enemy number one. How's that work?
Remember on Monday when I said, let Bonte cook? All right, you're cooked. That's enough. That's enough out of you. I got the fan base ready. Ding, ding. Bonte's ready. Take it out of the oven.
It was him and Duke.
Out loud.
Him and Duke got ready.
Calm down.
Nick Bosa doesn't get a sack without Bonte.
One of my boys goes, I was about to drop my kids off of school, and they ended up being late because I had to hear the end of Duke's new rap. And I go, that's my favorite dad of the year. Shout out, JC.
No doubt. Duke's rap is pretty good. We have it on the soundboard.
I was getting a bagel down in Santa Clara, and I actually sat in the car waiting for my bagel with egg because, you know, you're on the road, you got to get a little brekkie because you're not sure what your foodstuffs are very important. I'm like, look at Duke get loose.
Dude, he was on fire.
Duke is doing it,
They had me, my veins were popping out of my forehead. My mom said, you got to take it easy, dude. I'm like, that was just one little 5-second blip. I look like a madman.
Yeah.
He looks like the big black guy. He's mad. Oh.
Man, why so angry, bro?
Why so angry, bro?
You mad, bro?
Capri Sun.
So the Giants going to win 81 today?
Sorry to grab this piece of dynamite and throw it into the middle of the room after listening to you guys this morning, but it has been confirmed, ladies and gentlemen.
What's that?
John Brebbia will start today at Petco Park.
I told you.
The San Francisco Giants and San Diego Padres in an old school grudge match. Throw the records out because this one doesn't count.
It just means more to the NL West.
It means something. Does it? 500.
Does it?
81 and 81.
See, that's one of those things that means something until it's over and then you forget. Like, years ago, I actually love the way that the U.S. women's national team.
Soccer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? But soccer in this country, and this is changing
they're
now.
They're our most dominant team.
Go back, call this, I don't know, maybe 7 or 8 years ago. What was the match, and the women made it to the final, and did they lose to China or Japan? I feel like in the World Cup final, or was it the semifinals? You're looking at me with a blank stare. Am I not remembering correctly?
I'm not sure if you're remembering it correctly.
Here's why I bring it up. Was it South Korea. Okay, South Korea, and it was the final, right? World Cup final for the women? Semifinal? Whatever it was. Japan. Anyway, it was the final. So my point is, I'm at a restaurant, and the whole country is like, oh my gosh, World Cup final, World Cup final. And then America surprisingly loses. And I was at a Yard House, and everyone's like, all right, so what are we doing for dinner? Like, you don't actually care. You think you care. Yeah. We're starting to care more about soccer, but that was soccer in this country.
Yeah.
There was a period of time where we didn't care. Then we acted like we cared.
Well, that's
now I officially think we care. Same thing with the Giants today. Yeah. Oh, they need a 500 record. You're going to forget their record by December.
No, is this no a must chance. Win? I will never is this forget a must their win? Record. This the record is indicative of the Gabe Kapler approach. Well, you know, lefties against righties,
either way.
Righties against lefties, and you wake up at the end of the year and you're 81-81. You do all that spreadsheeting and you do all that analytics, and I'm going to take the lefty against the righty. I'm the smartest guy in the room. 81-81. Yep. Nice job.
If they're
Skip.
Lucky, might be 80-82.
This is a legacy game.
Yeah, no, I don't.
Steiny.
The record stinks either way.
Over under inning Steiny's watched this year.
Oh gosh, 2.5.
Oh no, I was going to say, what's bigger, Brebbia's appearances or Steiny's innings watched?
Well, because you know he was at a Giants game. That
correct.
I was at.
So that's 9 right there.
Yeah, but was he watching?
Was he watching?
Did he go to the Niner game? I saw him at the tailgate.
He had a tall boy, and he was hanging out. And I went and saw him. And he's like, I was going to stay. I think I'm going to go home. And then Goo left his wallet at his dad's.
Did Goo make it back?
No chance.
You know what? I give him credit just for even the idea. You can't leave Levi's Stadium and then be
back.
Like, I'll
and
be right back.
Yeah,
are you kidding me?
There's no chance.
You're making here by Thursday if you're lucky.
There's no chance.
Oh, hang on. I left something at home. Let me run. That's like saying I left like clothes in a hotel in New York.
Let me go get it. I'll be right back. He easily jumped on the VTA. VTA to BART. BART, catch an Uber, get home, get the wallet. Reverse it. Uber to BART. BART to VTA. You're there by halftime.
Put that thing down.
I'm getting a text from him.
Thank you.
I'm going to get a text from him like, nah, man, it was real. I mean, you'd be mad at me. I can already feel it.
Well,
that's fine. It's fine to forget something, but don't think you're going to run home from Levi's and be right back.
As Guru would say, put the rat on the table.
Let's hear it.
Did Guru forget his wallet? There's no way he's driving to Santa Clara forgetting his wallet. Not with the caddy. He needs gas every 5 miles.
I know,
come on. And does Guru
maybe
have
got a money clip?
Does Guru
in his
have Apple Pay on his iPhone? I mean, like,
no,
you know,
hell no.
Guru, I love you.
I know you're driving in, and this will come up about 12:03. Yeah. Just know that I kept your name out, my mouth.
I tried to.
Can I make a point about Apple Pay? They've made it too easy for me to buy things. When you have to pull out the credit card and type things in, I would at least second guess myself.
You know what? Coming from someone who doesn't have kids, excuse me if I don't want to hear it, that they've made it too easy for you to buy things.
Yeah.
They have made it too easy for my son to buy things. Well, that is on my account with his phone.
That's
the problem. No, he's like, hey, Dad, did you put $10 on my green light card? I did. He's like, oh, you didn't text back fast enough. I used Apple Pay. I used my debit card.
Yeah.
I used
face recognition.
You got 14 ways to use the account now. So the wallet doesn't even matter anymore. Who needs a wallet?
Well, you
got three kids and a bunch of problems.
What do you guys have cooking?
John Salisbury's coming on in an hour.
Oh, nice.
And actually, you can launch us in to this conversation with your thought, because I heard them last night, Salisbury and Lowe, with the football hour. I was listening to them driving around. And they threw this question out there, because the team was 2-2 last year after 4 weeks. So go back to last year and everything we knew about that season, and then come to this year. Which 2-2 makes you feel better? Did you feel better or worse about the 49ers' chances last year after 4 weeks?
I feel better this year. Because last year, I agree with you.
They
lost two straight. We're like, and Jimmy didn't play that Arizona game.
We didn't know Debo would turn into this. It's a good play.
Has there ever been a better? Yeah, you're welcome, Kyle. Anyway, has there ever been a better?
It's a good question.
Example. What's the matter? You okay?
Keep going. Okay. Doing great.
Has there ever been a better example of one game changes everything?
Oh, wow.
Well, that's the NFL, because if they go to Carolina and they lose, 11-10, one game will have changed everything again.
That's a high spread in that game.
What's it up to?
Six and a half. I think it's down to six. I thought it was
down to six. We'll double check it.
39.5 is the over under. They're telling you 23-17, basically, which.
Wow.
I mean, Carolina.
If Carolina gets to 17, that's an accident. Don't you think?
One turnover, one sharp field. One Ray McLeod. Oops, I did it again.
Oh. Six feels high. Right?
That is high.
Am I tripping?
Up to six. That's starting down to six.
They're terrible.
The sharp buddy. Yeah, their defense are not bad, though.
No, it's still 6.5.
Coming up, I'll tell you why I think this 2-2 is not as good as last year's 2-2. I think there are some things that surround what's gone on and what could be to come that have me a little bit concerned.
Nice.
But I'll save that for the other side.
I'll be listening.
All right, we'll be listening. We're getting out of here. We've got a deployment 9:30. He's got a long drive. We're going to let you guys get an extra 20 minutes.
Okay.
That is a long drive.
Some stuff.
Yeah.
Thoughts and prayers.
Got some stuff.
Thank you. I got this foot thing. By the way, before we get out of here, someone said that you made the catch of a lifetime scaling a fence in like a Berkeley softball game.
Oh, my God. How do you know this?
Somebody called us.
And he said that Dibs made the greatest
catch.
Must have
been Brett Goldman.
I almost forgot this.
It was Brett and Sarah Fell.
He said you made the greatest catch in the history of softball. Scaling the fence. And I guess Goff's dad was out there.
Still don't know how I made the play. And this was about three surgeries ago. I went back. It was one of those ones where you're just charging for it. The ball hits the glove, the face hits the fence, body parts everywhere, but I held on.
$60 million deal from Brian Sabian after
the
that,
guy
right?
tagged from first and scored because I'm lying in right field. Of course your boy's in right field, by the way. The guy tagged. I think they scored three runs on the play.
He didn't mention that one. Yeah. That was great.
The guy tagged from first. That guy's still down?
First ever walk-off sack fly from first base in the history of baseball.
Oh, my God.
Totally.
You guys have a good one, man.
All right, boys.
Good night.
What did I do wrong?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.